All right, welcome back, everyone. You're listening to CITR 101.9 FM Vancouver. My name is Oliver, and welcome back to a new Discully episode. It is 11 in the morning of August 23rd, 2024. Like I said one more time, good morning, everyone, and welcome back. I am very excited today to do this episode because I've done this once before, and I'm going to do it again. But today we have a very special album for you guys that just released today. So our opinions are going to be fresh. Our opinions are going to be, you know, literally coming straight out from what we feel. This album has barely even like a couple hours out, but it's always fun to talk about new music and obviously artists that we love. But before we get into it, I do want to acknowledge that CITR is situated and broadcasting off of the unceded, ancestral, and traditional lands of the Musqueam, Coast Salish, and Tsleil-Waututh Nations. But welcome back, everyone. My name is Oliver one more time, and you are listening to Discully. If you are new here to the show, basically a quick little show run through for those who are with us today. For about half of the show, we're going to talk about a pretty mainstream artist, someone who most people know, and basically run through one of their albums and talk about their artistry, talk about the music that they produce, their genres, and who they are as a person, how they rose to fame, you know, whatnot, and just yap about them for about half an hour. And then during the other half, we're going to be talking about a Canadian artist who I thought was pretty similar to them, and just kind of talk about their music and just kind of give our opinions on what they put out to the world. Today, I have brought in with me a very special guest to help me talk about, I mean, obviously, I'm just going to say it now, but Sabrina Carpenter with her newly released album, Short and Sweet. I brought in my friend Izzy, who is maybe, yeah, I mean, I think the bigger Sabrina stan compared to me. I mean, I just recently got into her, but you were into her since Emails I Can't Send. Izzy, how are you doing?
I'm doing amazing. How are you doing, Ollie?
I am doing great. I'm actually very, very excited to do something like this. But yeah, I mean, we're going to be talking about Sabrina Carpenter's Short and Sweet. Like I said, it just released today.
Yeah, literally.
Like, give or take 14 hours ago.
Yeah.
Which is not, yeah, not that long. But I think we're just going to start off with kind of just a little bit of like what we know about Sabrina, who she is, how she rose to fame, and just kind of her background first. So what do you know about Sabrina?
I feel like I actually have been following Sabrina for a long time. Like, mm-hmm. I've been a listener since like kind of the Evolution days.
Oh,
even like Can't Blame a Girl for Trying days.
Yeah,
like,
yeah, yeah.
OG Disney, because I was also like such a Disney kid. So Girl Meets World was kind of like my first introduction, mm-hmm. to her, and then everything kind of after. But it's been really cool to see her art, because it's been kind of crazy, and she like has been consistently releasing music pretty,
yeah.
much since she left Disney. But it's really been like, obviously, with Emails and with Nonsense specifically, and kind, mm-hmm. of the fame and like eras and all that kind of stuff that have really like given her such a cool platform to be able to kind of do fun things. So yeah,
I feel like a lot of people were surprised when they realized that Emails I Can't Send was actually her fourth studio album.
Yeah.
I feel like everyone was like, oh, like I didn't know that and whatever. And it kind of had, it's kind of, I don't want to call it like the Selena effect, but Selena Gomez had like a similar thing when she was like signed to the Disney record label, which I have a whole little thing that I want to talk about.
Okay.
But before we get into it, Sabrina was born Sabrina Anlin Carpenter.
I think
it's pronounced Anlin. May 11, 1999, which does make her 25 years old in Quakertown, Pennsylvania. Like I said, she is a singer and an actress in pop and described as R&B, but that's arguable.
Really?
Starting off her career on the Disney Channel for shows such as Girl Meets World, which I feel, mm-hmm. like was a lot of people's, like, that was their show.
Yeah.
And because of her contract with Disney, she signed to their owned Hollywood Records in 2013 and started to release music, which eventually led to four albums, starting off with Eyes Wide Open, Evolution, yeah. Singular Act One, Singular Act Two. And then I think she took like a little bit of a break.
Yeah.
And it wasn't until 2021 where she signed to Island Records.
Right. And then that's
when she,
beginning of Emails.
Yeah, Emails I Can't,
right.
Send. And then yeah, she released Emails I Can't Send, and that was her fifth studio album, which makes Short and Sweet her sixth studio album.
Crazy.
Which is crazy because she's quite young, like 25, yeah. and having six albums already.
Out. Like, she's been on the hustle.
She has been on the hustle. Yeah, and when she moved to Island Records, she released her first single, Skin. That was her first, mm-hmm. single that charted on the Billboard chart.
Right.
So
Skin was so
good on her.
So much controversy with that song too.
I actually do remember that a little bit.
Yeah.
But if you didn't know, like, Island Records holds like quite a couple like pretty well-known big artists. Yeah. I mean, the one that's like rising to fame right now, like at an exponential level, is Chappell Roan.
Oh, okay.
And like they're just both on the same record label. I have no idea if Olivia isn't with them. Because I know Olivia and Chappell maybe share the same producer, but I don't know if Olivia...
Yeah, they're connected in some way. I'm not sure if it's actually the... Like, I don't know what record label she's with.
That's a good question. Oh, she's with Geffen.
Oh.
Which is under Universal Music Group.
Oh, under Universal. Okay. Yeah. Oh, right, right, right. Yeah, yeah.
I guess it's just the same producer.
Yeah.
But yeah, so Sabrina has had quite the career, which I think is why, like, arguably a lot of people are like, oh, like, can she actually be eligible for a Grammy nomination
such as
Best New Artist?
Yeah, yeah.
Because
she's already had so many albums.
But I think the Grammys, like the Academy, actually, the requirement for the category isn't like how many albums you've had or if like this is your first album.
Right.
It's like when the artist has had their breakthrough.
Mm-hmm. I think it has to do with how many times they've applied as well, too.
Yeah,
There's something to do with that.
Because
I can't remember the specifics.
All I remember is people saying that Tate is not eligible to do it. And people are like, why? Like, if she's kind of in a similar situation as Sabrina.
Yeah, but I think she got applied, like, her team applied her.
I think it was
last
year.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And now, I guess she's not eligible, which is kind of crazy, but...
Yeah.
Yeah.
But, like, I mean, to be fair, like, if we're comparing Tate and Sabrina, Sabrina had such a bigger breakthrough this year with her singles. But, yeah, like we mentioned, her fifth studio album, Emails I Can't Send, was released in 2022, which was her breakthrough album, with songs such as Nonsense and Feathers staying on the Billboard charts for weeks and even months.
Crazy.
Which is crazy. honestly, I think something that, like, really helped her get up there was... When she was touring Emails Like Can Send, she made Nonsense outro specific to every city.
Yeah, yeah.
Which was such a good, like, marketing move.
Of course. Because
I'm just like, you're just like, you're making it unique to every city.
Yeah,
to, like,
and
where
everybody's excited for every single show to hear it again.
Exactly.
And then people are like, oh my gosh, yeah, I want to hear the song.
And then you're like just streaming the song because you're like, oh my God, I wonder what she's going to say. I wonder what she's going to do. And then she just, like, would change it for every single one.
Yeah. And it's also her brand too. Like, it's just that, like, she's basically making people like, oh my God, like, it's the shock factor thing too.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Like, whoa, like, this cute little blonde girl's saying all these crazy things.
Yeah, because she'll say some wild things and you're just like, oh,
okay.
Oh, that's the girl who did Girl Meets World, right? Like,
yeah,
that's
Disney?
Her. and then, yeah, I mean, Feather had, like, I feel like the Feather song got really popular after the Feather dance that she did on tour.
Right.
When she was like, slam the door.
Ignore. On Eras.
Everyone was like, whoa,
that's
like
crazy.
Sabrina.
Mm-hmm.
And I definitely think Feather got her back up there.
Yeah.
But before, like we mentioned before and during releasing Emails I Can't Send, Sabrina was still acting for movies such as the Tall Girl series, like Tall Girl 1 and Tall Girl 2.
Yeah.
And The Hate U Give, which.
Really?
Did you watch The Hate U Give?
I did not. I believe I read the book.
Because I think it was a book before it was a movie, or if it was a movie before the book. But I'm pretty sure it was a book before the movie.
She's been in a few other films as well, like a few other, like, Sundance or films that have been in Sundance.
There was one where she did, like, it was like a competitive dance one.
Oh my gosh.
I actually don't remember.
I don't think that was one of the Sundance ones, though.
But that was, like, one of the most recent ones. I think it was called Work It in 2020.
Oh, yes.
It was a dance comedy film.
Oh, no, I'm thinking of a different movie.
It was with Liza Koshy.
Oh, wait, right.
And
okay,
Jordan
yeah.
Fisher.
Okay,
love Jordan
Slay.
Fisher.
Oh,
great guy.
He's a king, yeah.
He is a king. Musical
legend.
Musical
honestly,
Broadway legend.
Broadway
yeah.
legend.
But all right, let's introduce Short and Sweet, because, like, time flies, like, if I'm being honest. But Short and Sweet was released, like I said, today, August 23rd, 2024, with major influences from pop, country, rock, and slight R&B, with producers such as John Ryan and Jack Antonoff. I was doing a quick little search on John Ryan because I feel like a lot of people know Jack Antonoff.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, we're talking Taylor Swift. We're talking Lana Del Rey. Yeah. We're talking, I think, even some Olivia.
Mm-hmm.
And obviously Sabrina. Also him being part of The Bleachers. Is that how you pronounce it?
Oh,
The Bleachers?
I don't know.
The Bleachers pop band? Yes. He is part of The Bleachers. So he's kind of just everywhere, but John Ryan is, like, he's been in the industry for a minute. Mm-hmm. He wrote a lot and a lot of the One Direction songs.
Oh, interesting.
Like, I was looking into it and I was like, oh, this guy's, like, One Direction.
Yeah, like, he's, okay.
Some Katy Perry with her, like, last, not, yeah, her last album, before 143, which is coming out soon.
Like Never Really Over era?
Like Smile, the Smile album.
Oh, yes, yeah, yeah. Okay.
I think he wrote like one or like a couple songs. But something else I was actually looking into was Amy Allen, which I know yesterday that we were doing like a quick little, listening.
Yeah.
Listening of the album. Uh-huh. We kept seeing like Amy Allen right. in the credits. Yeah, it was yeah. Amy Allen, Sabrina Carpenter, and, like, either John Ryan or Jack Antonoff.
And Julia Michaels was in there a few
and
times.
And Julia Michaels, yeah. yeah. But Amy Allen is like, her track record on songs she's written are crazy. Like, she wrote Please, Please, Please and Espresso for okay. Sabrina. She also helped write Selfish by Justin Timberlake, Pretty oh. Isn't Pretty by Olivia Rodrigo.
Oh, okay.
My Mind and Me by Selena Gomez. Some Jason Derulo, some Halsey. okay. Adore You by Harry Styles.
What?
Which is crazy. Back to You by Selena, and she's just been on a lot. She's been on a lot of different albums, a lot of different things. It's just, and some Shawn Mendes.
Okay, go
just,
off.
Just out of nowhere. But yeah, those are even just like a few to mention, but Amy Allen just has it
going. She knows what she's doing.
No, 100%. But John Ryan was definitely the one that shocked me, and I'm like, how long have you been in the industry to be writing all of these songs? Like One Direction... DJ Snake, which is like long ago.
Oh, yeah.
John Legend.
Okay.
Like some Harry Styles as well. Niall Horan, Maroon 5.
Right.
It's just Benny Blanco.
Oh,
which
I thought he was
his own producer. like, and yeah, Sabrina Carpenter's the latest one with Yay. Short and Sweet. But yeah, like I mentioned, with producers such as John Ryan and Jack Antonoff, the album has a total of 12 tracks, summing up to about 36 minutes.
Yeah.
Which we were talking about this yesterday. And it's like barely cutting it.
It's pretty short.
Yeah. So apparently, we like from a little quick Google search yesterday, mm-hmm. for your songs to count as an album, like your body of project to count as an album, it has to be over 30 minutes.
Yeah.
Which is, yeah, I mean, 36, you're like barely cutting it. Honestly, like Sabrina was just like, you know what? Let's make two more songs, release two more songs, and then that's
it. Well, there's a few outros that are, yeah, like a little bit long.
The last two songs, I think the outro sum up to about a minute.
Yeah, so
which is just like instrumental. She was pushing it, but you know what? That's okay.
It's okay. She made it.
But all right, I think we should stop yapping a little bit because God, I can literally just
keep
yapping.
Yeah, we can talk forever.
And I think we should play the first song that I want to play, which is actually the first track off of Short and Sweet, which is Taste. The music video did just release, what, 4 hours ago?
Yeah, so funny,
with,
by the way.
Jenna Ortega.
Amazing.
I'm not usually one that does, like, gore, but, like, it was, like, that gore was so comedic.
Yeah.
It was just, like, the way they would just, like, you know, slice the person in half and then just, like, keep walking.
It's just keep doing
like,
it,
oh,
yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I feel like if you guys want to definitely see that music video, definitely check it out. It is on YouTube. And it's just like Jenna Ortega and Sabrina just, I guess, fighting over a guy and then ending up, none of them ending up with him.
Mm-hmm.
So tough. But you're listening to CITR 101.9 FM Vancouver, and this is Taste by Sabrina Carpenter. Oh, I leave quite an impression. 5 feet to be exact. You're wondering why I have his clothes when missing my body. Separation. I heard you're back together, and it- All right, welcome back. You're listening to CITR 101.9 FM Vancouver, and that was Taste by Sabrina Carpenter. I mean, it's a very fun song. Like, yeah. The beat is super, super exciting.
So
like,
good.
It's
yeah.
so danceable. It's not that long. It's barely even 2.5 minutes.
That is, yeah, crazy.
But it's just, when you pay attention to the lyrics, you can clearly tell, like, she's writing it about someone. She's
yeah.
writing about a little situation well, that
there
she
was,
had.
There was some, like, controversy because of the video in the Taste video, which everyone should watch, because Jenna Ortega is in this video, and, like, we love Jenna Ortega.
Mm-hmm.
But there was, like, some tea that it potentially was kind of trying to be a little Camila Cabello, Shawn Mendes situation, because the casting also for... the guy in this video looks suspiciously like the boy Shawn Mendes.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I don't know if that's confirmed, but...
I was telling you, but I just love when artists, like, get, like, this petty. Like,
yeah.
it's like they want to be subtle, but, like, it's very much
not. At all.
Because, like, we're like, okay, we all know what happened.
Yeah.
It's like, you're doing this music video, and clearly mm-hmm. some choices were made. Like,
some choices.
It was intentional. Like,
yeah, for
let's
sure.
let's not say that it wasn't.
Yeah.
But, yeah, like, even, like, down with some other songs on this album, I think it was Dumb and Poetic.
Oh, maybe,
like,
yeah.
if that's not Joshua Bassett,
right.
then, like,
who
yes. is it about? Who
is it about? Like, there's, like too
Barry
many little
Cogan?
One-liners.
Like, no.
I know, not very good. No.
But, yeah, there's, like, way too many one-liners.
Yeah.
I remember, it was, like, we were listening to it, and we were just in the car, and we were just, like mouth open, like, jaw dropped. We were just,
mm-hmm.
like, I was, like,
oh,
just say
gosh.
The name at this
yeah,
point.
Yeah, literally, like, just insert.
But going down the track list after Taste, we do have Please, 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 which is, I think, did it do better than Espresso?
Or did
it do just as well?
I feel like it potentially did better. It definitely was at the same level of Espresso,
mm-hmm.
if anything.
Yeah.
But I feel like it potentially did do better.
Mm-hmm. The only thing that I like, Please, 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 I think is, like, a good song. I definitely like the retro vibe that she went with it.
Yeah.
Especially how she used, like, the instrumentals for most of her promo when it came to,
yeah,
to that.
Right.
But I can't remember who I had this discussion mm-hmm. with, but... We were talking about how, like, music videos, like, back in the day definitely had more of a story. And I mean back in the day, like, circa, like, 2010, even
yeah,
like
yeah.
before that. Like, the intention of making a music video was, like, very much more thought out. And I'm not saying this one was not. But looking at the Please, Please, Please music video, I didn't really get it. Like,
that's
I know,
the one with Barry Keoghan,
yeah,
right?
Like,
yeah.
I understand it's, like, a continuation of I'm Thinking Espresso because at the end she
yeah,
gets, like, locked
she gets
up.
Arrested.
Yeah, she gets arrested.
yeah.
And then, like, Please, Please, Please is, like,
it was,
her
like, a crazy,
being
like,
in the prison.
Yeah.
But I just, like, I didn't get it. I'm like, oh, like, you escaped. And you, like, fell in love with this, like, bad boy.
Yeah. Like, yeah. I mean, I think it that, like, it's her own little world, so I guess she can do whatever she wants. But, yeah, no, I do agree. It was, like visually it was great
mm-hmm.
and, like, it was cool. But, yeah, no, I definitely... It was like, yeah, okay.
Like, yeah,
it was entertaining, like, but it was just like, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. But I will say there are definitely artists out there who are doing music videos that are, like, you know, going to be iconic. Like,
yeah.
And actually, perfect segue into the next song that I want to play, which is Good Graces. But Ariana Grande's We Can't Be Friends, that music
oh
video.
Oh, my
was
God.
Was, like, a cinematic
that music video actually, like, crushed me.
Yeah.
Like, it was so beautiful. I thought about that music video and just, like, not even the music video itself, but the storyline it created.
Yeah.
I was like, wow, that is a crazy thought that you can just go, like, you go into this office and you get this person erased from your mind. And then, like, the last clip of just, like, the hands
mm-hmm.
barely touching. Oh, my God.
I know.
Like,
it was
changing.
It was, like, a really, like, the idea was definitely there. And, like, she envisioned something. She
totally.
Was like, let's run with it.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just, the video is, yeah, like, a masterpiece. Like, I
yeah.
remember my eyes were watering. I didn't cry, but I was like, damn, I was like, that was actually kind of sad.
I
was like, damn, Ariana. I was like,
yeah.
I mean, yeah, but basically, the reason why I wanted to talk about the segue is because when we were listening to Good Graces, I immediately, first thing I said, I was like, this is Ariana.
Yeah.
I was like, this is
it definitely
Ariana.
Sounds like, but she's gotten those kind of, not allegations, but, like, she's had that said, I think, about her.
Sabrina?
Before, yeah, and, like, that she's kind of, like, a little bit of a mini me. I mean, I think there was at some point when there was, like, some of the weird Olivia Rodrigo and, like,
mm-hmm.
Sabrina Carpenter tea, people were like, oh, Olivia Rodrigo's, like, baby Taylor and Sabrina's baby Ariana.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, oh, okay, interesting. But I definitely, like, some of the riffs and, like, everything, you can definitely hear a little of Ariana.
I think it was just, even if there is inspiration, like, it's nothing wrong with it.
No,
but,
totally not.
Like, I immediately thought, I was like, this song could be in Positions. I could
yeah.
be also, like, the production. They could have also even worked, like, if John Ryan also worked on Positions, but I didn't see it on the list, but
mm-hmm.
it reminded me a lot of it. And also just, like, the high pitch that Sabrina chose to take with her voice in
yeah.
this song is definitely just, like, something that I was just like, you know what, like, Ariana could cover the song and I would know that it was her song.
Yeah.
But yeah, before we give like more opinions, I just thought like maybe we should listen to it and, you know, just keep going with it. Yeah. Oh God, we can yap. Mm-hmm. You're listening to CITR 101.9 FM Vancouver, and this is Good Graces by Sabrina Carpenter.
Drawing hearts, running names, and dreaming of writing vows, rocking cradles. Don't mistake my nice for naive. I don't waste a second. I know lots of guys. You do something suspect, this cute as bye bye. Like, ooh, baby, you say you really like it being mine. So let me give you some advice. Boy, it's not that complicated. You should. Saying my good graces. Well, I'll switch it up like that so fast, cause no one's more amazing at turning love into hatred. Boy, it's not that complicated. You should stay in my good graces. Well, I'll switch it up like that so fast. No one's more amazing at turning love into hatred.
I won't give a kick about you. I won't give a kick about you. I won't.
My heart and I swear I'm moving on with your favorite athlete. Shoot a shot every night. Want you every second, don't need other guys. You do something sus, kiss my cute ass.
Interested in maintaining a healthy lifestyle during midterms, finals, or any time throughout the year? Then Freshy has you covered. Stop in today at Freshy on Westbrook Mall and order one burrito, salad, or bowl and get the second for free. Buy one, get one for free. Freshy on Westbrook Mall is your one-stop food as fuel choice for people on the move. Freshy. Eat. Energize.
Pick up the phone, Lower Mainland.
This is Discorder Magazine calling.
And that means...
it's time to pick up your Discorder.
With recollections from Music Waste and interviews with your favorite local rising talent performing at 648 Kingsway and Redgate Art Society, Discorder Magazine is offering
Discorder.
You the most intimate. Accessible input on the underground art scene across the Lower Mainland. For all the distribution locations, head to citr.ca/discorder/subscribe/.
Thank you for picking up Discorder Magazine.
All right, welcome back. You listen to CITR 101.9 FM Vancouver and Discali. And that was Good Graces by Sabrina Carpenter. I feel like after listening to it more and more and more and more and more, I just really see Ariana. Like,
yeah.
I was like, even the beginning, I was like, I immediately played it and I was like the beginning, especially like when she does her little like, you know, whatever,
yeah,
like the little riff in the beginning.
Yeah.
But it's like echoed in the back. I feel like that's very Ariana.
Yeah. And like the little ad libs in the back too. You can hear like, okay, yep, get me Ariana.
Definitely. But I still think it's like that song could be in positions. I feel like there are a lot of times, specifically I've done it with like Taylor albums, when people are like, oh, like this song on this album could be on this song. On this album.
Yeah. Like if it's, yeah, I see what you mean.
I can't remember which one it was, but was it You're On Your Own, Kid? I think could have fit in 1989, I think is what people were saying.
Oh, totally. No, I feel like there's a lot of songs that you could place in a different album, especially if it's like very, like each album is very themed.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, for sure. But that's what I'm saying is like, I feel we could just grab Good Graces and pop it
into positions.
Yeah. I feel like that'd be fun. That'd be cool. But moving down the track list after Good Graces, we are going to be doing quite the jump to our next song. We have Sharpest Tool, which I think like when I first heard, I mean, like it was really just about like a boy.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, most of these songs are about boys.
Yeah.
And then Coincidence, I think, is like the first time we hear like the country
influence. Yeah, it's such a different vibe.
It fully just like turns it around.
Yeah.
And then Bedchem, that's kind of like a self-explaining song title.
Yeah, that one just taking me a little bit of time to kind of get used to it.
I feel like there's definitely always like songs that take a bit more time to hop on and just try to like get into it.
Yeah.
For me, it's Don't Smile, which is actually the last song of the album.
Right.
But after Bedchem, we have Espresso. The one and only Espresso, which everyone, I think, has heard at least like 100,000 times. And then Dumb and Poetic, which 100% Joshua Bassett.
Joshua Bassett.
And then Slim Pickens, which obviously I feel like from the title you can tell it's
That one is also like vocally so interesting. I don't know if I'm like 100% like sold. I love it, but it's definitely fun.
Cause she premiered this song live at like an event, right?
Yeah. She like pulled it. Yeah.
I think it might've been like at the Grammy Museum. For some reason, artists just like go to the Grammy Museum to like perform songs.
Perform new songs. No, and it then, makes sense though.
No, I know. But like, what a privilege to just be able to like go.
To be able to see it. Yeah.
Like, I that's something I hate. I'm just always like, we live in Vancouver. It's like, I get it. We're like a small little town. But I just wish we would have those things and not just, you know, California exclusive. But, you know, everyone just lives in California these days.
Yeah.
But after Slim Pickens, we have Juno.
Yeah.
Which I can't remember. Was this the line where she talks about, like, wanting to get pregnant?
Yes.
Or was that another song? Remember when she was like...
No, well, she definitely... No, this is the one about getting pregnant.
Is this the one about getting pregnant?
100% this is. There's I think I know what you're thinking of.
You know the line that I'm thinking
of. Yeah, but it's not getting pregnant. It's not about getting pregnant.
About getting pregnant? I thought it was.
Oh, maybe.
When it was like, I want there to be three instead of two.
Oh, no, I think that is Juno.
Is that Juno?
Yes, I'm pretty sure.
Okay.
I feel like she would isolate that.
Because
you know?
I remember that lyric being there and you're just like, oh, like she's talking about...
Yeah.
Having a baby. But I asked you what Juno was, and because I generally like, because there's the Juno Awards and there's like Juno movie, a Juno song. But you know a bit about the Juno movie.
Yeah, the Juno movie. I mean, I didn't really like, I haven't personally watched it, but I think it was about, a girl that had gotten teenage pregnant, basically. And then I guess her unborn child, or like, no, her born child is given to like this rock star family, I think. But I think basically it was just like a fun, quirky, and kind of a little bit subtle way to be like, I want you to make me Juno. I want you to make me pregnant.
I see. Yeah. Subtle. Very subtle.
Very subtle.
Very subtle. You know, just a movie about teenage pregnancy.
Yeah.
But yeah, when I first heard Juno, I remember I really liked the beat. It's super, you know,
it's super
exciting,
upbeat.
Super upbeat.
A lot of these songs are.
Yeah, definitely a lot. Like, I definitely think the last two songs and Dumb and Poetic are definitely like more on like the slower side, more on like the ooey gooey, like tear your heart out romantic kind of thing. But Juno, there is some arguably some country influence. I immediately said that I thought of Shania, and for me it was the Up album. I don't know if you've ever heard any
by Shania Twain. I've
other
heard
than, like,
a little bit, but I can't, like, I couldn't tell you.
Like, there's a bunch of Shania when it comes to pop and country. Obviously, she had her country albums. I really want to do Shania one day for Discali, but it's so hard because she was the OG Taylor when it came to charting on the Canadian charts.
Yeah.
So everything charted. And she still holds some records for most like sales on some things. But when she transferred from country to pop, which was kind of in... arguably in Come On Over, but it was more when she released her album Up. She released a pop version and a country version and an international version.
That's such an interesting way to do it, because that's so like, there's so many artists that have tried that, and like specifically country artists getting into pop, because obviously like country is so niche, so sometimes there's like wanting to move over to pop, but it's like it's really difficult. Like Kelsey Ballerina is the first person that comes to mind that like I think did it pretty well.
Yeah.
But I think it's quite difficult.
Yeah, I remember like Shania, she really just like took a leap because people were like, you should really, which is like most of the time, like in the early 2000s, people were like, you know what, we should like lean over to pop. Pop is like what is pumping. Yeah. Pop is like the next thing, like the next rock, because everyone was like into rock in the 90s. Yeah. But I heard Juno and I was just thinking, I was thinking, I'm going to get you. I was thinking, what a way to want to be. I was like, that is so Shania. Maybe even just the way that the lyric is like, it's not too complex and nor is the melody.
Yeah.
It's very like standard. I also don't know if Juno originally. Yeah. So Juno is originally explicit, but most of the songs that Shania wrote were not. Like she never used any swear words or any uncensored stuff.
A clean queen.
A very clean queen. Yeah. Which I hope to do one day. But Juno definitely liked the beat. I was just like, this is so fun. I was like, I immediately fell in love with it. And I've been blasting it. Like I got home yesterday, blasted it.
Juno.
Woke up this morning, blasted it. In the car driving, blasted it. And now we're allowed to do it here. So we're going to do that right now. You're listening to CITR 101.9 FM Vancouver. And this is Juno by Sabrina Carpenter.
Don't have to tell your heart as a thing. Oh yeah, you just get it. Whole package, babe, I like the way you fit. God bless your dad's genetics. Yeah.
All right, welcome back. You're listening to CITR 101.9 FM Vancouver, and that was Juno by Sabrina Carpenter. I was just dancing in
it's
my chair.
So cute.
I feel like I'm gonna break the chair. It's such a cute song. Yeah. It's like so. I mean, obviously she's saying a couple of things where you're just like, if you look at the lyrics, you're just like, whoa,
there, like Sabrina,
let's calm down a little bit, Sabrina. But yeah. But I mean, it's just like a perfectly like produced pop song.
Like, yeah, it feels like a movie. Like it does feel like a 2000s movie.
Like the beginning. Like I want to play the beginning one more time if I can. But like the beginning of the song is just like I'm thinking. Like something starring Lindsay Lohan.
I was thinking it's giving like Freaky Friday vibes. Yeah. Or like something even like Parent Trap kind of energy.
Like just this intro. Yep. Just like
that is exactly
like
what, yeah.
We have just the beginning of the introduction of something. You know, they have like a huge landscape view and like you're passing through the park and then you like focus on like the main characters, like I don't know, like grabbing
They're
a cup
doing
of coffee
something, yeah.
or something, and then like the movie starts.
Yeah.
And it's just like a perfect way. Mm-hmm. I love, honestly, I don't think we see this a lot nowadays, but it was definitely done more in like the 80s and the 90s, but on an instrumental break where just the instruments just take over for a bit.
I love it though.
No, it was great. And I love it because it gives us like obviously a little bit of a break from like the repetitive lyrics that we hear a bunch and the chorus and the refrain. But when it comes to an instrumental break, sometimes some artists can like name it the bridge. I don't think for this song, the instrumental break is the bridge.
Well, that's like it happened in We Can't Be Friends too, but that was a little bit different because it was like Me and My Truth, We Sit in Silence, but like that was perfect.
Yeah, exactly, because like it went silent and then like it kind of came back a little bit.
Yeah, a little goosebumps.
No, definitely goosebumps, but I love it because here they fully just like cut the song and then you're just like, oh, it's done, and then it just comes back. Like the drum comes in and then everyone just comes back for a bit. And then it's kind of just like, I can't wait to see that in tour.
Yeah.
Like, I definitely can't wait to see that in tour.
Good.
I also have to remember that I also love to do the section on Discali where I just talk about the tour, what she did, what is expected, and the vinyls, of course. But the tour is soon-ish.
So soon.
When does she start?
I'm actually not sure where she starts.
Short and sweet tour. I don't know where she starts, but all I know is, let's see. She is starting in Columbus, I think.
Ohio?
Columbus, Ohio.
Crazy.
Ohio? Why in Ohio? But yeah, she's starting in Ohio and then she goes immediately to Toronto. So Toronto's going to see her first in Canada, which of course they are. It's fine.
Yeah,
it's whatever.
Just
a little eye roll, but it's okay. And then actually, Vancouver's pretty much on like the last third of the of the tour.
That's a really feels like short tour.
She goes from September to like mid-November, late September to mid-November. It's like 2 months.
I guess I'm thinking of like I'm thinking of eras where eras.
I was gonna say,
like,
if you're comparing it to Taylor,
years,
like it's
totally
been a
minute. True.
But yeah, Vancouver is gonna be November 4th at the Pacific Coliseum, which I'm honestly surprised that she booked the Pacific Coliseum.
Is it? I've never been there before.
It's not that big.
Oh.
That's why I'm saying it's like okay, it's big, but it's like not that big.
Right.
Like Pacific Coliseum is where I went to go see like Daniel Caesar, but Daniel Caesar makes sense. Like Daniel Caesar has a good sized audience, but not like a massive size
massive,
where he
like,
could
arena.
Like where he could buy like an arena, like Rogers.
I feel
arena.
Like they were probably nervous, not nervous, but like. You don't want to just book out the arena and hope for the best.
I know, but even with Espresso and Please, 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 I'm like, people are going to pay money to go see that.
True.
But fair enough. I mean, I will say, though, they did, like you said, like they didn't expect to see how much demand would be.
Yeah.
But when I tell you, you were there.
I was there.
But I was FaceTiming Izzy because she was in Amsterdam at the time because we wanted to get tickets. And when I tell you that was one of the most stressful ticket buying experiences I've ever
even
had.
Across the world on FaceTime, I was stressed for you.
No, because you were in line.
I felt so bad, but
Sam
like
was
we
in
couldn't
line.
Get in. Like I,
and,
my thing was like, no, it's your turn, and then the whole thing just crashed.
Exactly,
it
like you just like couldn't get in at all, and I was just like, this is making me nervous.
Yeah.
I'm just like, and then once I got in, because I just out of nowhere just like hopped into first, and I just started panicking. I was like, oh my god, guys, like floor is gone. I was like, we have no chance for floor. And then I know some people wanted floor, and I was like, okay, but like, what are we gonna do now? Like everything that's left is like kind of like. Like 150, and I'm like, I like Sabrina, but I don't know if I like Short and Sweet.
No,
so like, you kind of have to take a gamble. And then like the tickets just started leaving, like whack-a-mole. I was like, gone. And I was like, just make a choice. And then I was like, okay, like how many? And then you were like, can you just buy four? Because originally I was just gonna buy two.
Right. Yeah.
But it's like when I started seeing, like, you would have had no shot.
No, 0%.
Zero shot.
No. Yeah.
And this was the pre-sale, and that was the worst. I was like,
I
if this is the pre-sale,
there's
I don't
no
even
real sale.
Like, imagine the on-sale. The on-sale lasted 1 minute.
Do you think they? Oh, they did reserve.
They did.
Oh, okay.
But like Sam and I tried, and like when we got in, nothing.
Nothing.
The only thing was like the platinum, but I was like, you're charging $1,000 for like one of like those seats, like no. But yeah, Sabrina is coming to Vancouver. She's doing a little bit of a North America tour. And then I think she is taking it to Europe and Asia probably sometime soon. I think those already went on sale as well. She just finished doing festivals such as Coachella, where she literally said at the end that she wants to come back as a headliner, which hopefully she'll get there. You know, everyone has a chance to get there.
Yeah.
And vinyl pressings actually for this album are, I mean, I will say I did get very, very lucky. I was able to see her post on Instagram when she announced the signed copies of it within, I think, 10 minutes that she posted it. If I remember correctly, I was like 5 minutes
so
in and I
early.
Saw it and I was like, I was like, should I buy it? And I was like, you know what? Why not? And then I bought it. I just got the confirmation this morning that it shipped.
Oh, really? Oh, that's so exciting.
Yay.
Yeah.
But yeah, she has the standard. It's a standard pressing. I love when colored pressings are the standard. Like there's no black. Mm-hmm. But it's like this kind of like light sky blue marble. Amazon has its own exclusive on like, I think a lapis lazuli blue as described here. Target has like a pink, like a baby pink. And then there's an alternate cover for this album with the green Coke bottle, green pressing, where the alternate cover is kind of her just laying on a chair in like a field.
Okay. Oh, yes. I did see that one.
Yeah,
that one's like, kind of low key.
Yeah, with like a purple chair. I will say, I think that one comes with a poster. I don't know if mine comes with a poster. Hopefully it does.
Okay.
But I mean, it comes with a signed insert.
Yeah.
I'm not complaining.
Fun.
There's a picture disc as well with like the Sabrina tour promo photo shoot. And I think there might be one more. I might be lying. Oh, yeah. There's one more alternative cover that she just released where she's, like, I think, laying on a bed. And that one has a bonus track.
Oh.
And I have a bone to pick with people who put bonus tracks on, like,
on
limited edition
album.
LPs.
Yeah.
Because I'm just like, I'm not going to buy it just for
no,
an extra
song. No, just
for
one song. But then it's like, I mean, I feel like maybe it'll come out eventually. That's always my thought with it.
Maybe.
Yeah.
I don't know. We'll see. But yeah, after Juno we have Lie to Girls and Don't Smile, which are slower songs and also two of the songs that have a 30 second outro at the end. But that basically wraps up Sabrina Carpenter's Short and Sweet. I mean, in brief, for sure. And if there's like anything else you want to listen to, definitely just check it out. I mean, it did just come out today, so I'm not expecting anyone to know anything about it.
Yeah.
But yeah, we're definitely, even us, we're still in the process of digesting the album.
Yeah, figuring out where we
are. And figuring out where we are.
Totally.
But originally for this week, we actually did have Renee Rapp on the roster.
Who we still love.
And definitely probably like later on we might do her.
Mm-hmm.
But I did not change this week's discovered artist. I still have
Jessia.
Yeah. That's how we pronounced it.
Yeah,
Jessia.
So.
Pop artist. We love sticking with the blondes.
Yeah.
But Jessia, who's her artist name, was actually born Jessica Harling. Like I said, better known for her name Jessia, is a Canadian pop singer from. I never knew how to pronounce this town, city. Ukulele.
Really? She's from Ukulele. It's on the island.
Yeah,
on Vancouver Island.
British Columbia. Best known
so
for her 2021 single. I'm Not Pretty. She was signed to Republic Records, and she's loved by the Juno Awards, winning titles such as Breakthrough Artist of the Year in 2022.
Juno, not to be confused with.
Not to be confused with Juno, a teenage pregnancy.
Yeah.
Juno as in like the Canadian Grammys.
Yeah.
But yeah, I did want to play her single that obviously like got her there.
Blew up, yeah.
The only thing is that it is explicit, so unfortunately, I won't be able to play that.
Yeah.
But she did just release an EP, which is kind of what I wanted to run through for this episode. She released her EP, Okay With Every Part, under Pop, and she released it July 19, 2024. So it's actually barely a month,
a month and a bit. Okay.
She definitely leans more into like pop, maybe like folk a little bit of a slower pop, which is something that I was able to find. Kind of similar with Snow Angel, because I know Snow Angel, there's definitely some like crazy ones.
Well, for sure. And Snow Angel was like pretty musical theater oriented as well.
Yeah, I mean, it's Renee Rapp.
It's Renee Rapp.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
But running down the track list of the EP, there's Different People, Friends With My Friends, He's a 10, Care About Me, Happy With You, and The Woman You Are. I'm going to start with Different People and then go through He's a 10 and then end with Woman You Are. I haven't really listened to these songs. I love this part of the show because we kind of just listen to it and kind of give our opinions on what we think. And kind of just see who they are. So you listen to CITR 101.9 FM Vancouver, and this is Different People by Jessia.
Oh, we really did some damage. I never knew a heart could break like that. Finally ripping off the bandage. And this time really feels
feels like it's the end. I don't wanna wonder where you are, but I don't have control over my heart. No, I don't wanna wonder where you are tonight. Like how you kissing different people, trying not to say my name to different people. Tell me, did I get replaced? I don't want to know it, but are you kissing different people? I guess this is how it happens. One day we decide to never talk. Really got into the habit. Didn't think I'd see this come undone. You never broke my heart. Running out of reasons, keep you out of reaching. Pretend like we could never fall apart. But are you kissing different people? Trying not to say my name to different people. Tell me, did I get replaced?
Hastings Crossing is Vancouver's eclectic heart, a welcoming, diverse community rooted in social innovation, compassion, and cultural wisdom. Situated downtown along Hastings between Richards and Gore, you will find some of Vancouver's OG businesses like Nemesis Coffee, Meat and Bread, Dressu, Nuba, and many more. By supporting local businesses and social enterprises in Hastings Crossing, you are also helping to shape a more resilient, inclusive, and sustainable local economy in the downtown east side. Find out more about how Hastings Crossing Business Improvement Association is working to support the people and economies of Vancouver's downtown east side at hxbia.com or follow us on Instagram at hxbia.
Old or New Testament?
I think the New Testament.
The question is, Pilate. Remember Pilate from the New Testament?
What does Pilate? He fiddled while...
Just a minute. Let me ask the question, then you can give me the answer, okay? Did Pilate want Jesus to be crucified?
Pontius Pilate washed his hands of it.
So did he want him to be crucified?
Yeah.
No. No. No.
Well, tune in every Friday afternoon, 3:30 to the Nightwatch Show on Xenia.
Well, find a good church. It'll help you out.
All right, welcome back. You listen to CHR 101.9 FM Vancouver. And the last 10 minutes of Discali. But that was Jessia with Different People. I actually think she's very talented.
Yeah, no.
Her voice is
sure.
Really, really good.
It was
good.
really crisp.
Yeah, it was very crisp, yeah. For sure. Something that I really liked is the way she layers her voice. I feel like a lot of people definitely do struggle with layering voices and harmonizing. Yeah. Sometimes people pick either or. I mean, the aspect of harmonizing is obviously to layer your voice. Mm-hmm. Some people just choose to like layer the voice, but just like singing it various times to kind of just have this more like strength to it.
Yeah.
Which is definitely something that I found in Different People.
Mm-hmm.
Album Music actually describes it as this EP as from the heart pop ballads from one of Vancouver's freshest voices. Vancouver.
Vancouver is
the question mark.
Crazy.
I'm like, Vancouver Island. I guess
you are half correct with that one.
I don't mean to be picky when I say this, but when people say like they're from Vancouver, but they're like
they're
not.
They're like from Langley. No offense to people from Langley.
No, like you're not from Vancouver.
You're not from Vancouver.
I will say like the atmosphere is so different. True. And I'm not saying it's a better because it's like arguably not.
True. But I will say like, especially like being away, being in Europe, people are like, if you're talking to people that are maybe not from Canada or not from anywhere but in Canada, like if you say, oh, I'm from Canada, they're like, oh, like Toronto or Vancouver, and you're like, well, if you live in Langley, it's like, yeah. I understand saying I'm from Vancouver, but like if you're talking to somebody, you know, from just, like Kelowna,
yeah,
you don't live from Vancouver.
Like, or like, well, I remember, I can't imagine like the amount of times when like on a, like Imagine Days or like introduction days at university, and people are like, oh, like where are you from? I was like, oh yeah, like I grew up in Vancouver. I went to like, you know, a school in like Langley, and my family's from Surrey, and I'm just like, oh, so like you're from Surrey, and it's like, yes, but like no. And I'm like, what do you mean? And it's like, oh, well, like it's like the Vancouver area. And I'm like, no. The Vancouver area is like, this is the area.
Right.
So
it's like Vancouver proper versus the GVA. Like the
Greater Vancouver.
Greater
there's Bay, like, there's a difference. There's a difference. But the next song I do want to play before we get into wrapping up the show is He's a 10. I feel like a lot of people nowadays are just writing about like love and relationships.
Yeah. I mean, I think that's always kind of been.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I feel like it's just experiences that are very emotional.
And they're relatable, too. Like,
and relatable.
Everyone experiences 100%. At some point, so.
I always, like, try to find, I'm not saying that I don't like sticking to it, because I mean, love songs are the ones that, like, hit the deepest and the most. But I always try to find, like, projects that obviously have, like, a different turn to things.
Yeah.
Like, if there's something that I praise a lot about Bjork is that it's just like you never know what she has to say.
Mm-hmm.
Like, God knows what she's saying, but she's like putting it into music.
She's saying something.
Yeah. And it's like super experimental. I'll never forget, like, even like the Kendrick Lamar album, Good Kid, Mad City. Like, it's fully just the story about like growing up in like the hood.
Yeah.
And like having parents, you know, and like being surrounded by like gun violence and being surrounded by like, you know, all of this like really harsh lifestyle. And like that body of project was like one that was not universal, because like not a lot of people get to experience that, but was something that universally could be understood, which is obviously something that I love. But also that's something that you could argue with love music is like universally people understand.
Everybody
love.
Understands love. Everyone, to some degree.
Yeah, everyone has experienced their own experiences, and you know, it's just something that everyone can kind of understand.
Yeah.
But yeah, we'll listen to He's a 10, talk about it a little bit, and then, yeah, wrap up the show a little bit. You listen to CITR 101.9 FM Vancouver, and this is Jessia with He's a 10.
He's a 10, but he still lives at home with his mom. He's had 9 interviews, but he can't get the job. He's got 8 little texts from 7s you don't know. And he's 6'5", but it doesn't show. Oh, it's 4 you pages, all TMA. Texture.
Welcome back. You listen to CITR 101.9 FM Vancouver, and that was He's a 10 by Jessia. We were kind of talking about like what we kind of thought like that song kind of reminded us of. It's definitely like teenage bedroom pop.
For sure, yeah.
Like that type of love.
If I was 15, I would have rocked that.
Yeah, you would have been like, you know, like singing it, like jumping up in your, like up and down in your bed is like literally what I imagined.
Totally,
but
yeah.
I immediately mentioned Gail, like how that just reminded me of Gail, like the A, B, C, D, E, F, U girl. And then you mentioned Leah Kate. Which Leah Kate had some controversy for a bit.
Yeah, I don't quite remember what was going on, but I do remember.
I feel like people just didn't like that type of songwriting because it was like 10 Things I Hate About You was the one that like kind of, or Twinkle Twinkle.
Oh, I don't know.
Remember it was like Twinkle Twinkle you know?
Yes, right.
It's just like,
it's like you're,
it didn't seem that original.
No, and it's kind of ripping off. Well, it's like a lullaby, so it's like, okay.
It's a lullaby,
like, he really owns that song. But, like, but yeah, no, it just didn't seem like, it maybe is lacking, like, for me, lacking a little bit of depth that I usually prefer in the songs I listen to, but.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
But, I mean, there's definitely, like, people out there who, like, do enjoy that type of music.
For sure, yeah.
Which is why, like, people like Gail and Leah Kate do have their following.
Yeah.
But yeah, that basically means that we're wrapping up the show. Thank you guys so much for listening, Izzy. Thank you so much for coming on.
Thank you for having me.
I can't say
such a blast.
How grateful I am for you coming on here and, you know, helping me talk about Sabrina.
Of course, anytime.
And Jessica, because
we can yap forever.
Next up, we do have Dave Radio Presents The Eclectic Lunch, so make sure to stick around at noon for another awesome episode with Dave. And yeah, I'll see you guys next week for another Discali episode. I'll definitely have a new album and a new artist to talk about. If you do want to listen to more and get to know me more and get to know Discali more, I do have a Instagram profile, _Discali_, which you guys can reach out to me and just, you know, keep in the loop of what I have to put out. Wrapping up, Jessia, I will play a little outro song, and we do have The Woman You Are. Thank you so much again for joining. We'll see you guys next week, and you're listening to CITR 101.9 FM Vancouver, and this is The Woman You Are by Jessia.
Grew up in a small town. Two girls on a beach trying to figure it out. Red wagons and princess dresses. That magic's not second guess, no. Living less than the middle. Three jobs with a kid, and she never felt broke. As long as we had each other.